I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Ronald Reagan was the oldest man elected to the presidency. He was 69 when he took office. But Senator John McCain is already 71 years old. If voters ask, is he too old, is that ageism or just a common sense question in the race for the presidency? I'm going to flip those questions and a few more over to our bloggers' roundtable. Joining me now, Ambra Nicole. She blogs at Nicola.com. Also, John McCain, who runs the blog Book of John, and Jim Collier. His blog is actingwhite.blogspot.com. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
What's going on, people?
Oh, well, you know, it's big news this week. So let's start out with McCain. The Arizona senator is the GOP frontrunner. And a survey from several months ago found that his age could make things tougher for him. Jim, why don't you tell me a little bit more about the survey and what you think about the issue?
Well, Farai, you know, to help us understand this, Newsweek posted a political poll by Pew Research comparing attitudes towards age versus gender and race. And interestingly enough, what they found is 48% of people were less likely to vote for a candidate in their 70s, while 45% said that age didn't matter. Now, if you jump over to gender, only 11% were less likely to vote based on sex, while a greater 75% said sex didn't matter. And finally, when you back that up on race, a mere 4% said that they were less likely to vote based on race, while 88% said that it didn't matter. And I think this points out, first off, one of the problems with isms, you know, racism, sexism, that all isms are not created equal. For instance, ageism has a large component of objective factors influencing it, versus it also has subjective factors that we need to understand. Versus if you jump over to race, race is almost completely subjective and has very, very little objective factors. But this sort of gets lost in our polling.
Well, you know, objective versus subjective can also subjectivity, and I'll actually pose this as a question, Ambra, can't these subjective factors rule us just as much as logic? I mean, when you're passing by and you're, you know, going by a shop window, it's like logic may tell you keep your credit card in your wallet, but then your emotions run rampant. So is any of this, there are all these factual bases to the questions, but is that really what you think rules people's minds, or is it more emotions and gut feelings?
I think emotions and gut feelings play a pretty large role. I mean, I don't know if all of you have been following the debates, but I know when you watch the debates and you watch sort of the energy level of McCain, it's quite apparent that, you know, he is significantly older, and it does raise questions in your mind of, is he going to be able to sort of, you know, be fortified in the wake of what could happen in this country?
Now, I'm going to go to you, John. There's another factor, which is health. Much has been made, for example, over the past few years about Vice President Dick Cheney's heart problems. But Senator McCain has had three bouts with melanoma. It's a kind of skin cancer that can be deadly. He appears to have a form that is contained and shouldn't affect him in the future. But what about things like that? You know, the health records have at certain points been used heavily in how people view presidential candidates. Should his health record, should the other candidates' records be taken into account?
No, I mean, what are we asking a man to do? To trial for the NBA? I mean, nobody's asking McCain for two terms. They want somebody to come in right now and fix the current problems that we have. I mean, if it's about health, I mean, Obama smoked cigarettes, right? But nobody's saying that. The only thing we're saying about Obama is that maybe a white racist, you know, will knock him off. You know, nobody's not saying anything about possibly lung cancer killing him. Or, you know, President Bush, he's in great shape, but he still gets hated on. And so the thing about this age thing is that, you know, it's the strange dynamic in that, you know, in this country we're taught that, you know, not to discriminate based on race and gender and age when it comes to stuff like, you know, housing and employment. But it still seems that there is at least one job in this land where you can discriminate based on age and even race and gender, and that's the president of the United States.
I think there's a lot more jobs than that you can discriminate upon those things. But anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. I mean, if it's all about age, then I guess Hillary Clinton wins hands down because Barack Obama is too young and too inexperienced, and John McCain is over the hill. So do we just give the thing to Hillary Clinton?
I guess, really, you know, again, Jim, the question is, when people go into the voting booth, it's also what they say in a poll may not match what they have actually going to go into the voting booth and do. We've seen that time and time again. People may say they're pretty racially enlightened and then walk into the voting booth and have history and baggage with them. Likewise, do you think that this whole age thing could possibly be overhyped, that it polls as a big issue, but people won't really take it into account?
Well, I mean, I think it definitely polls is a big issue, partly because we're just getting older as a society, and we're well kept in terms of the health industry. People are living longer, and like in Cheney's case, they can keep you living longer if you've got an ambulance that follows you everywhere you go. So the reality is that backing all of these sensitivities are voting constituencies that people are trying to appeal to, and that's one of them. I think Bush and Cheney kind of confuse things because Bush is kind of young and Cheney's sort of old, and it's kind of hard to make sort of use of, well, what's the real benefit or challenge here? Because they sort of kind of rewrote the book on age. I think McCain, he'll, like someone said, he's there for one term, and the question really comes down to, is age a proper surrogate for good mental and good physical health? And so far, the guy presents himself as being pretty good mental and physical health.
All right. I actually want to flip us to another political topic, which is going to put you in the driver's seat, and you can certainly go ahead and jump in first. So the president has a plan to fix the economy. The Senate has one. The House has one. There's these potential checks that could go out, $600, $1,200 if you're married. Drop it in the bank, spend it. What would you do if you got your check, your stimulus check? What would you stimulate?
Well, If I got a check, I don't think I would do much to stimulate the economy, because for my money, I would have to tuck that money away. And again, I know that's not going to stimulate the economy, but you got to understand that I drive a 1993 Honda Civic, two-door now. That thing could break down any minute. I need that money on standby to keep myself rolling.
So you're saying that you would probably spend it on car repairs, but not right now. You'd hold on to it.
Yeah, I think I want to sock it away. And I know the whole premise behind this thing is to put it into the economy, stimulate some jobs, spend it at the mall, keep that mall manager from, laying off or firing some workers. But, I may have to hold on to it.
Amber, go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry. I think the point is well taken in that, as an endurance athlete, if I just like take sugar and pour it into my body, I'll get hyped for a second, but then I crash and burn, versus if I look around and thoughtfully, grab a banana, that might sustain me for hours on a ride. And this is the same sort of thing, dumping money in people and then having them run out and do a small short spending spree is just like sugar in the veins.
Ambra, what's your check? Where's your check going, if it even happens?
Well, I think it's a bit of a joke because I think Americans overspend and we're deeply in debt. So, obviously most people are going to run out. We probably represent the minority here. But I know for me, I'd figure out a way to flip the money and create a profit. So it would either go towards debt or go towards a business acquisition of some sort.
Like what?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm an entrepreneur, so I'll figure out a way to turn $600 into $1,200 or whatever the case may be. I'm married, so we'd get double. But whatever the case may be, I'd figure out a way to flip it and not put it towards being consumer, but rather being someone who's creating a profit.
At the same time, though, and, Jim, John, one of you two maybe can weigh in on this, the whole idea of consumer spending is it drives so much of the economy. This check, in some ways, according to economists, is meant to be spent. I guess I'll go to you, John, very briefly.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, will, in fact, this economic stimulus package, is it the panacea? I mean, will it really work out? I wrote a column recently, and, I put forth the idea that maybe we should take some of this money and, put it toward mentoring programs instead of, me spending it on myself. Let me take my check and put it toward a mentor program. But then I pulled back from that and said, well, hey, I'm not going to give my check to mentoring if everybody else is not going to do it. And I think the same thing applies here overall, is everybody going to stick their money into the economy, or are some folks going to hold back?
All right, we're going to have to end it right there. Thanks, guys. We are talking with John McCann, who runs the blog Book of John. He was at WUNC in Durham, North Carolina. Also, Amber Nicole, she blogs at nicola.com from KUOW in Seattle. And Jim Collier, his blog is actingwhite.blogspot.com. He was at the studios of the University of California, Berkeley.